This morning our psalm is Psalm 130. Hear the word of the Lord. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we bow before you, thanking you for the freedom to come together to worship and to learn and to hear your word. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us, that you will inspire us, that you will inspire us through your spirit. We pray in the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 1, and then verses 7 through 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. When Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord. I can never read that passage about being seated around the banquet table without thinking of my childhood, growing up on the farm, and what being seated around the table meant at that time with five boys. I remember that we always had a place where we were supposed to sit. We had assigned seating, so we always knew we had a place to sit, but it was never the place where Dad was to sit. And Mom, of course, always had the same place too. It was the servant's seat, if you will. It was the one that was the closest to the stove or the kitchen counter, the place that was always the easiest for her to get up and down as she continued to serve her family through dinner. Because my four brothers were all older, and I actually was just a toddler when they started leaving the nest, I didn't have the same pressures on me that they had. I didn't have to compete for that last piece of pie. And I didn't have to endure someone tattling about some embarrassing incident that had happened that day. But the dinner table was a special place. We all gathered around it. We always knew that there would be plenty of mom's cooking to eat. And we all had our special place to sit. We knew that we belonged at that table. And do you remember in school, in those classes where we were seated alphabetically? With a name like McLavy, I was always seated smack dab in the middle. I couldn't escape. Denise Adams was always first. And poor Randy Zaleski was always last. Those were the cards that we had dealt. And whether we were first, last, or smack dab in the middle, we knew that we belonged. We had a seat. But that assurance of belonging didn't exist in all aspects of our lives. I think we all can relate to a time in our lives when we didn't feel like we belonged. We felt like we were seated in the wrong chair, if you will. It started quite early, actually, as we were jostling for position as kids, or when we waited to be picked for somebody's dodgeball team, when they would look right at us and then pick someone else. And remember the first time our best friend abandoned us to sit with a new friend and we weren't invited? Perhaps I exaggerate, but I don't think so. It seems to be human nature that we want to be recognized as being successful or having status or someone who belongs, someone who has accomplished something in life. And it's not nearly as much fun if others don't know about it, and if we don't receive a few accolades along the way. But today's scripture passage from Luke begins this way. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Jesus is at a dinner party thrown by a leader of the Pharisees, who would be one of the highest of the elite of the religious establishment. And while at the party, Jesus takes note of the way that people are jockeying for position, seeking to have the places of greatest honor around the table. Now let's take a moment to envision the banquet table in the Pharisees' home. And I talked about this just a moment ago with our youth. In Jesus' day, in Palestine, tables at a feast were low to the ground in the shape of a U, and all the guests would recline on low couches around the table. And at the bend of the U would be the host, in this case, the Pharisee. The place of greatest honor would be the seat immediately to his right, and the next place of honor would be immediately to his left. The next would be the second seat to the right, and so on, until we reached the places of least honor, the outermost seats at the ends of the table, the ones that were furthest from the host. And the kind of scene which Jesus witnesses and which Luke describes was apparently pretty common. People who were eager to get a better seat, and they would typically be those with less status. The more common people, they would arrive earliest and try to judge where it would be safe to sit in order to avoid the humiliation of being asked to move. On the other hand, the VIPs, the very important people, they would tend to arrive as late as they liked, making a grand entrance because they knew their positions at the table would be preserved. Any lowly person who was so foolish as to take a seat near the head of the table would be asked to move to make room for those of higher status. It was a humiliating arrangement. And the embarrassment didn't end there. There would be a difference in the quality of food that was served to those at the head of the table versus those at the end. The host and his honored guests would get the elegant dishes, the choicest of morsels, while the rest might be served something less tasty. Jesus watches all of this while he is in the Pharisee's home, and he offers advice to the guests in the form of a parable. But it is not just advice that Jesus dreams up on the spot. Remember that Jesus is well versed in the Hebrew scripture, and he draws upon Proverbs 25, verses 6 and 7, which says, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of the noble." So with this understanding then, listen again to verses 8 through 11. It says, "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this man your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place." Jesus is saying that there is no need to desire sitting at the head of the table unless we are invited to do so. Because if we simply desire to be there in order to exalt ourselves, to be seen by others as important or powerful or successful, then chances are that we will be humbled and we will have to endure humiliation. But if we are humble to begin with, if we are humble in our selection of a seat at the table, then we have the opportunity to be called up, to be available to God if he should want to seat us in another place. And that's great advice. And I'm sure those seated at the lower end of the table there in the Pharisee's house appreciated it much more than those at the head. Undoubtedly, some of those seated next to the host were offended by Jesus' remarks because he was inferring that those at the lower end of the table were actually the ones who were being exalted. But now we come to that part of the scripture passage that I love. It's so Jesus. He has been invited to a feast at the home of a leading Pharisee, and immediately he has given advice to the other guests about how not to be humiliated by the rich and pompous. But he can't just leave it there. He can't just sit quietly and enjoy the meal. He has to deliver a message that will be recorded for posterity. A message that people like you and I will be reading and reflecting upon today. Don't you just love it? Jesus is saying to the Pharisee, next time you throw a banquet, don't invite this riffraff that you've invited here today, your friends and relatives and rich neighbors. For goodness sake, they may feel obligated to repay you by inviting you to their homes for a banquet, where you will go through all of this silly jockeying for position all over again. Instead, he says, next time you throw a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. They can't possibly repay you with a banquet of their own, but they can bless you in ways that will have eternal consequences. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. I cannot emphasize enough how bold Jesus was being when he addressed the people around that table in this way. Because you see, in Jesus' day, there were places where the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind were specifically not permitted to enter when others were present. They were considered to be ritually impure. And when speaking to the host, Jesus was addressing a Pharisee, one who likely practiced ritual purity. So Jesus' suggestion would have been considered shocking. But Jesus was not deterred. He was pointing out the discrepancy between the humanly governed kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of God. He said, if you want to be seated at the banquet table in the kingdom of God, you may want to think about changing your guest list. Jesus was offering a vision of a fresh start and a new world. He was offering a vision of a banquet table at which everyone has a place of honor. It is filled with honored guests who are equal in their status because God has extended the invitation. Yes, God has extended the invitation. And our Lord Jesus Christ is holding open the door to the banquet room. The door is open to all who believe in him as Lord. Today we can be so grateful that we have set before us a banquet table where everyone is welcome and where every seat is equal. So this morning, let's go to the banquet table now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. Though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. Risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life so that we live in him and declare,
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again.
Let us pray. Almighty Father, we do bow humbly before your throne. We thank you for this feast that has been prepared for us and is now spread before us. Lord, we pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon these your gifts, the gift of the bread and the gift of the cup. We pray that you will inspire us to share your love with those we encounter. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you as we remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord. All are welcome. This morning we will be serving by intinction, which means you will come forward and take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. This is the Lord's table. All are welcome. Thank you.
Let us pray. Most holy Lord, we come to you now with our arms open wide, embracing you in the shadow of your table, where we have received sustenance and hope. By remembering your body and blood, we remember your life and sacrifice. Thank you, precious Lord, for dying for us, and thank you for the grace that makes eternity with you possible. We are grateful beyond words. And Lord, we have learned about the fruit of your Spirit. Make us hungry each and every day for that fruit, so that we will strive to be transformed into your likeness. When people see our love, our joy, and our peace, let them be certain it is all from you. May your image of grace and servanthood shine through us, and may we have words of compassion and comfort for all who need your loving care. Today we pray for those in our midst and those who cannot be with us, those who are sick or lonely or feeling lost. Lord, we have lifted up before you this morning many names. We pray that you will bless them and that they will be touched in enormous ways by your gentle Spirit. We pray boldly and with confidence. We bow before you, Almighty God, and we pray these prayers in the name of Jesus, our loving Savior, who first taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.